This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Revolution Beauty. Revolution Beauty is an affordable and accessible makeup for all. Since day one, Revolution has been challenging beauty norms and championing diversity.
All products are 100% cruelty-free and designed based on consumer feedback. So Revolution has something for every skin type and any occasion. And that is so great for me, Sasha, because my skin, it doesn't know what it wants to do. But I do love that they have a skincare kit for whatever you need, whether it's a blemish or oil, and their color palettes. Have you seen those?
Y'all know I love me some color, and that includes on my face.
So absolutely.
Now that summer is coming, I'm ready for all of the vibrant eyeshadows and all of the fun color palettes. I'm ready to go.
And Revolution definitely has something for us.
So we are teaming up with Revolution Beauty to give you 20% off your next purchase by using the code PODGO20. That code is PODGO20 at revolutionbeauty.us. Check out the link in our show notes and join the revolution today. Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we have ventured again into a white territory.
It just sounds so funny when you say
it. Because, you know, I found the white that I like, and this one is not it. I haven't even tasted this one yet, but we determined earlier that it's not a Chardonnay. And so I'm not.
Sasha, you just, you know,
although we're
going to
see, because I did this one correctly and chilled it. So maybe that's been my problem all along. I just haven't been
drinking. I told you that was a part of your problem. I mean, the part of you don't like white wine. The other part is you don't drink it right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's so much easier to just take a wine off the shelf and just drink it. Like, I don't have to worry. Mm-hmm,
that's the reason. Yeah. Absolutely. So, all the reasons.
But we are drinking on La Crema, which is, it's a Sonoma Coast wine. So California Coast wine. It is 100% Chardonnay. That's aged in its barrel for 7 months. Of course, we said this at the beginning of the season, but all wines this season are Sasha and Sheree approved. So this one's 13.5%. It says, according to the website, it has aromas of Meyer lemon, Gala apples, and subtle hints of oak, which are followed by flavors of white stone fruit. You like stone fruit, Sheree.
Yep.
Yellow plum and honeydew melon.
I don't taste half of any of that they're saying, but carry on.
It says on the palate, the wine is vibrant and concentrated with juicy acidity that drives a lingering finish.
Yes, all that. I don't know about all them tastes. Honeydew melon and all.
I don't smell not a single fruit.
That's why I said, can't just taste it, girl. I taste oak and I taste liquor.
Oh, that's not bad.
Told you don't taste the stone
fruit.
Chilling
my wines.
Y'all, we're gonna have to do all of every season one and two over, and we got to revisit it and see if Sasha actually does find some that she likes. I can't.
I don't taste anything fruity.
I do taste the slightest hint of a stone fruit.
Yeah.
Just the slightest peach,
barely.
But they did this, like they blew on it. Like they thought about peaches while it was on there, and like that's the amount.
Yeah, that's probably the only thing I taste.
Yeah, like I can taste, that's the only sweetness.
Glad I don't taste the honeydew melon, because I
don't know how a honeydew melon would go in there. That don't make sense.
I don't like any type of melon. So.
I like melon, but honeydew melon is something that you just eat. I don't know how you put that essence into something. I don't understand.
It doesn't even really have a smell though. Like it doesn't.
It smell like liquor.
Yeah, it smells.
It don't
like,
smell like
wine. It doesn't really smell like anything.
But also, that might be the oak.
The oak. Yeah.
I can't talk tonight.
I don't know. Let's see what. So it says. Oh, this would be good for you now that you're on your non-meat thing. It says that it pairs well with crab. Oh, this is a good Maryland wine. It pairs well with cracked crab, lobster, shrimp, and scallops prepared in a buttery, creamy sauce. I can see that.
So the next crab boil / next time we get some blue crabs.
Pretty much.
This.
Yeah, this is the wine.
Cool.
It could do a simple roast chicken, butternut squash, risotto, And it'll even last into the dessert course if you try it with a key lime pie. I could also see that.
I could see that.
I see everything that it pairs well. I definitely would work well with seafood. I can see that. All right. I'm not a fan. So that's
gosh, you can just say you like it. It's okay. We're gonna work through this. You can say I'm okay with this.
I do like this one.
I don't not like it. You mean you like it? I am not gonna have a double negative. You know, of all the grammarly things that I have to deal with in my household, in my life, you will not double negative me.
It's a good wine. It is good.
It is. No, I like it. And I mean,
we've definitely had worse Chardonnays. So,
oh, no. We definitely have had some that's just.
I'm not mad about this one at all. Like, if it was going to be a white and it was going to be a Chardonnay, then I would drink. Like, this will go in the fridge and I'll drink it. It's not going to be one of those ones like that, the watermelon one that we had that's still sitting in the fridge and isn't.
Oh, it's still there?
That's for guests. That's not.
Oh, gosh. I drank mine.
Richard finished the gold one. He finished all of the Ménage à Trois gold.
Oh, okay. See.
But today we are super excited because we have a guest with us today, Dr. Lisa Enfolden, who is a licensed physical therapist, and she's a mom-focused lifestyle coach and the owner of Healthy Fit Physical Therapy and Wellness Consultants in Charlotte, North Carolina. As a woman's health and body positivity and health at every size ambassador, Dr. Folden assists women seeking a healthier lifestyle by guiding their wellness choices through organization, planning strategies, and holistic goal settings. She helps busy moms find their healthy, and it's one of her top priorities, and she's a self-proclaimed fit mom, that's P-H-I-T, of three children, a wife of 13 plus years, and a published author and speaker, and she understands the complex needs of the modern busy woman. So,
amen, Lisa, amen, amen.
Thank you so much. And I just want to put out there, she said we could call it Lisa. I'm not disparaging her title at all.
Yes.
We had a whole conversation. The doctor, we introduced the doctor.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. Are you sipping on something over there?
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. Sip and swirl.
Amen.
So I've been trying these Ménage à Trois. This is their Midnight, which is a dark red blend.
Yeah, we had that.
I'm enjoying it. The alcohol volume is way up there. And I told you guys I started early. So I'm sipping now because I was gulping earlier.
Perfect. So, sip is the part. There we go. We got you.
We are fans of Ménage à Trois brand too.
I just found them at the grocery store and I'm like really liking them. So they're replacing, I forgot what I had, maybe like Dark Horse or something. So this is the new one I'm replacing.
Brand. Yeah. You are kind of guest. You got good brand recognition.
Ménage à Trois, the one that we really liked last season was Ménage à Trois Luscious. It was
Luscious.
Delicious.
Let me write that down.
And Luscious. Silk. We also had Silk,
Luscious and Silk.
Really,
man, they were sexy.
They were really good. Oh. Limelight, I was not a fan.
You didn't like Limelight, I did. I
was a white. But
I don't do whites anymore. I literally did that progression where you start with Moscato, like that was my college wine, right? And I literally worked my way up. I cannot touch whites anymore. Now I settled on Chardonnays for about 2 years. I was happy with them, and then all of a sudden they started tasting too sweet. So I'm like a dark red Merlot, Cabernet.
There you go.
Don't give me nothing else now. I'm very,
you
very
are
picky.
Sasha's spirit.
That's my kind of woman.
Yeah.
Right,
I cannot touch the whites.
I started the same way. I can do a white though, but I mean, I'm a red wine drinker now. That's what we all, we only venture into this. This is why you hear us saying we venture, because.
Yeah.
We only do it for the show.
Only for the show.
We can drink together then.
Give me a Merlot any day of the week. I will prefer a red any
day.
But today's topic, so we have you on as a guest because we wanted to talk about managing wellness while mothering, which I think is such a good topic. And I'm so glad that you wanted to be on the show to talk about this, because I think a lot of times women in general, but especially moms, I mean, Sheree and I have talked about this a lot. We struggle with trying to take care of ourselves, be healthy for ourselves.
Yep.
While still being a mom. I literally put on an Instagram post today about how I need to start eating better.
How about I just say, look, what is my goal? My goal is to run the clock back 10 years. I looked at a picture of myself 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, ooh, I really wish I was. I just told my mom yesterday. I said, I really wish I was the fat I thought I was.
And, oh my
gosh. When I thought that fat, I want that 10 year ago fat when I was like, I'm so fat. No, I'll take that fat today. So yeah,
I think we all can look back at pictures and say that, but I think that's part of the problem with women's wellness. When we talk about wellness as women, we focus on the body aesthetic. We don't focus on like the real health part of it. We're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be thinner. And really that desire to be thinner is what keeps us usually gaining weight and feeling less healthy over time. So that's one of the big things, you know, we'll talk about it, but that's one of the big issues I think I have with women's wellness is we spend our time like, how can I shed the baby weight? How can I get a flat stomach again? And that's really not what's important. That's really not what's adding to your life. I mean, it really isn't. It's just, you know, what people like to see on Instagram. So
everybody talks about the snapback.
let's start there then. What would you say is wellness? Like, yes. Why is it important for moms? And what is not wellness? So clearly it's not the goal of trying to have the flat stomach.
Let's define it right now. What is wellness and what wellness is not?
Yes, great question. So wellness is about seeking, like actively seeking to have good health in every aspect of your life. So physical, yeah, but then spiritual, emotional, mental. All that stuff we like throw on the back burner, put on a waist trainer and go, you know, like, are we looking good?
So wellness,
I'm looking good. I'm well, but you're not. So wellness is really about actively going after all of those areas of our lives and trying to be healthy, literally healthy. So what healthy really means in those particular aspects of our lives. Wellness is not necessarily living in the gym. For some people, going to the gym is a part of their wellness, but some people literally hate the gym. That ain't a part of your wellness routine then. Do not go. You can work out in your home. You can walk in your neighborhood. That's not wellness. Wellness is not having a specific body type, being a specific weight. It is not, you know, there's this whole, you know, you can Google everything and find there's an obesity epidemic. We got to get people thinner. That's not the issue. Obesity is not the issue. It's a made up thing. It's not scientific. Fight me. Okay. Cause it's not, but the
BMI
problem
is not a real thing.
BMI is not a real thing. It's all fake. It was built by somebody in the ancient years to look at the progression of a population, a white population over time. It was ever meant for people's specific health measures ever. So it's all pretend. It's hard because I know our government is built around it. The things that are approved, the fitness programs, they're all built around that, but it's all fake. So that's really not what wellness is about. Wellness is not about achieving a body aesthetic, a weight, a BMI or anything. It's literally about feeling well in every aspect of your life. So great if you go to the gym 5 days a week and you are at a healthy weight and you feel good about your body, but how's your mental health? Is it in the trash? Ooh. You know what I mean? Are you sad like daily? You know what I mean? Are you like depressed? Are you upset with your career choices? Are you in a horrible relationship? Like that stuff matters. And we always push it to the back burner when we're talking about health and wellness. So I don't want to say redefine it because this is the real definition, but I like to remind people that wellness is about health in every aspect of your life, not just what you look like physically. And even in some cases, people look great physically, right? They're thin, they got a six pack, but they're not healthy. They got diabetes, high blood pressure,
high cholesterol. Can you say that again, that you could be that you could have diabetes and be messed up and be
We all have a cousin who is thin.
I'm quote unquote. That's me. That's me. I'm your cousin. I am like, I'm the skinny fat person. Like I'm the one I'm small. I've always been naturally thin, but because of the way that I eat, like I'm the type who can have high cholesterol.
Yeah.
I'm the type whose family will predisposition me to get diabetes. And I weigh 130 pounds, y'all. And this is the quote unquote heaviest.
You got the perfect BMI, don't you?
She is right. And see, then there's me who loves to run. I love to walk, dance, move, yoga, all these things. And I'm like, I don't look the weight that I am. Like I love my curves. I'm like, I got all the curves, but I don't look the weight that I am because I am over 200. And they're like, where? And I'm like, a lot of it is, I'm pretty sure a lot of it is in the ass and titty area, but
stacked out here.
I'm like, I'm definitely stacked. So I'm like, if I ever lost those, I would cry. If I ever go back, I used to be 100 pounds, literally. I was 100 wow. pounds in college.
I can't even picture you at that. I was 100 pounds and we have never been the same size.
I was 100 pounds and I was just like, I just want weight. I just want to gain.
You asked for it.
I know people like that. Yes. Like, give me some more weight.
Look, I love my little, my curves, my little pa-ka-pa-cow. Since that's what I'm about to call it. I don't know what else to call it, but I thank you for saying that. A lot of people judge, like, we already are talking about, you know, the body positivity and all mm-hmm. the movements that have happened. I don't know exactly how I like all the labeling, but I do agree that you look at someone and just automatically assume that you yes. know their lifestyle, you know how they live in, you know their quality of life, and mm-hmm. It couldn't be furthest from the truth.
It cannot be. I got into a whole argument with some dude I did not know, because sometimes I have time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it was a post, something about Lizzo, and you know, Lizzo is all about showing her whole ass and everything, yes. which is fine. That ain't my Lizzo. Thing, but I love her. Like, I love freedom.
I love that she shows her whole ass so I don't have to.
Thank you. So I'm all for it. But he said, of course, what people hide behind when they have a fat phobia or an issue, or maybe they're scared of being fat themselves, they hide it under the guise of health. Mm-hmm. And he saw a picture of her and he said, oh, she is way too big. That shit is mad unhealthy, bro. And I was like, really? Is she?
But so is she though?
I said, are you her medical professional? I said, and if you are, you know, HIPAA, you're violating that. I said, do you know her cholesterol? Do you know her resting heart rate? Do you know her blood pressure? I was like, last time I saw her perform, she was just as big as she is now. She was running her ass back and forth on the stage, singing, screaming, twerking.
Thank you. Playing a flute.
She has enough stamina and breath control to twerk while playing the flute.
The flute. I played the flute growing up, so I know it does take some air. So I'm like, do you know that she's unhealthy? And he was like, I wrote a dissertation. He was like, no offense, I'm not reading all that. But I said, okay, then we're done talking.
because people can't take it when you're like, I have had friends who were fat, so-called like unhealthy,
enlarged bodies,
but could do splits, could dance me, could work, run me across the room. And I'm like, look, don't look at me. I'm here. I am real, and they're not. And you thinking that I'm the healthy one? And I'm like, nah, it's her. It's her. She definitely got me.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I said, man, I'm unhealthy. I am. If you want to go by fat or skinny, I'm a fat person in the skinny person's body. Okay, don't look at the outside. I can't. Yeah. Run the steps. I'm over here.
Yep.
Right. No. Listen, stamina. That endurance is serious. Stamina, yeah. You're right. All of that plays into it. But people don't see that. It's much easier to just go by looks. Like, she's heavy, so she's probably unhealthy. She's thin, so she's probably healthy. And it couldn't be further from the truth for a lot of people. But that stereotype and that stigma makes people in larger bodies feel like they're unhealthy. Yeah. That's the sad part, because most people don't have the wherewithal to say, but damn, I can do this and that and this. I must be healthy. They're listening to their doctors. These are people in, you know, high positions, right? You go to your doctor and they say, listen, you're overweight. And you're like, shit. So you want to fix it. It starts this yo-yo diet spiral, which usually results in you gaining weight over time, which is a bunch of crap. But yeah, it's an issue, and it's really something I'm passionate about and why I speak about it, because people are getting it from authority sources and running with it. And it's like, this is so wrong, y'all. Like, we don't have this right.
How do we refocus that in, like, that wellness journey though, into not so much focusing on our weight, what we look like, and into those other aspects? Because I think women focus on that because it's easy. It's what we can see.
It is. It's what I can see.
And in our minds, like, I know that if I work out and I eat better, that's how I fix this. Like, we know that those are the two things that'll fix this. And it's easier to tackle that than it is to say, like, talk to a therapist because I'm feeling depressed.
Yeah, I was like, how about that? Like, oh, maybe I need to not be in this bad relationship. What, oh, this God. Job? Maybe I need a career change and, you know, what? Go for what I really want. What? No, that's it's so much easier for me to eat like three meals that are healthy than for me to actually deal with the stuff. And you actually said something else that touches on how do we redirect that? Because even if you go to the doctors, that is, like you said, the first thing they say. It doesn't matter. But I could come in and I'm like, I feel like crap.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like crap automatically is like, I can have a pain or something. And the first thing they're like,
lose weight.
Well,
you're overweight. Yes.
And I'm like, no, I know I know what size I am, sweetie. If that was it, I would have started there, you know, my headaches or this. And it's automatically
your headaches ain't because you're overweight.
It's like
there's
nothing pressing on your brain.
The fat is getting to the brain.
It's like, you know, I've been but how do we help to redefine and take ourselves out of that mental spiral?
Yes. So the first thing is it's going to be a lot of unlearning. It's going to be a lot of backtracking and taking what we thought we knew and throwing it out and learning something new. So I direct literally everybody, all my clients, to read one book that I swear by. It's called Health at Every Size by Dr. Lindo Bacon. And it literally, I mean, there's science in there if you're into that stuff and statistics. It literally breaks down all of the fake science we've been taught and really gives you real studies. It tells you about the conspiracies and all of the trickery that has gone on, you know, to build up the pockets of insurance companies, because that's a part of the obesity thing. It's about insurance companies, because they run our Congress. So it talks about that. It talks about, you know, how dieting has been shown to be completely ineffective. As a matter of fact, studies show that long term, if you diet, the people who diet end up weighing far more than people who don't. Like, far more. So start there. Read something, learn something, educate yourself. Then once you do that, you start to unlearn all of those negative practices and those negative ideas behind wellness and fitness and health, and then build your own program from there. Wellness is individual. Like I said earlier, you might hate the gym. Then wellness, the gym is not a part of your wellness, but you might absolutely love dancing. So guess what? Dance parties in your living room, a local dance class, anything, something with your child, dance. That is a part of your wellness, because not only does it feed you physically, it feeds you emotionally and mentally. It relaxes you. It makes you feel good. You have to start finding activities that speak to more than just one part of your body. I like being challenged physically. Like, I like doing P90X, the 30 minute version.
I tried that back in the day.
I got through two days of that and was like, I think I'm gonna die.
That's okay. That doesn't have to be your thing. I like some of that, but then there are times where, like right now, I'm in the season. I'm like, I got about 20 good minutes in me, and that's it. Like, that's all I want to do. That's all that makes me feel good. If I go beyond that, I feel tired, exhausted. I'm hurting. It's not fun. If you're doing a workout routine that makes you feel bad about yourself, you know, they like, let's get rid of this fat. If it makes you feel exhausted and you're hurting yourself, that ain't for you. Move on, find something that works. I love group fitness. I know COVID has kind of put a monkey wrench in that, but I love group fitness. You can do it virtually too. Dancing. I've told clients before, go on TikTok, learn about three different routines and see how much you sweat.
Oh, you're going to be sweating your ass off trying to do them things.
You're going to be dripping. Okay. Oh, we talk about the dancing only being from the upper body, but you do enough of them.
Man, it's funny that you said that. I went to the dance class recently. It was like an Embrace Your Sexy dance class. And I was like, I love
We did something like that pre-COVID with Lisa.
We did something like that.
But it
was an hour class. But I tell you that from the warm-up, I sweated from the warm-up to all the, I felt so good. And it wasn't that far from, like, it was a 20-minute walk from my mother's house because it was in D.C. Do you understand that I sat there and I was so energized after that class that I walked all the way home? I was like, I had so much energy for the rest of the day. I was happy. I was like bubbling. And I was like, I need to do this. I need to add this. This is what I need.
This is what you need.
I don't get that feeling from the gym.
We have, like, one of our really close girlfriends is like what you were kind of saying earlier. She's the type who, if she's not in the gym, mm-hmm. it messes her up mentally. Like she, because she loves it so much, she'll spend like an hour and a half, 2 hours in the gym.
Oh, wow.
And she, because she loves it that much, and it makes her feel strong. And like she, if she starts missing, she's like, oh, I don't feel, and like, mind you, her body has always been banging. Yeah. But she's like, oh, I'm starting to feel like, and it's like, no, you look
good. We ain't never seen a piece of what she see, but this is her. She can see changes in her body when she does it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm the type who I found this. I go to like it's a boot camp thing. It's a 30-minute workout, and I go 3 times a week. And I've been going since December. This is the longest I've ever been consistent with it. And mine so much, I think it kind of goes into what you're talking about, because mine so much isn't necessarily the working out. I do feel myself getting stronger. Like I feel myself, my body is changing some. But for me, it's more of the, I'm giving myself permission to have this 30 minutes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to myself. I literally put it in my planner. I put it on my Google Calendar on my phone, and it's my time. So that's the time, like I'm gone for about an hour and a half by the time I drive there and come back. So it's like, I get to focus just on me. I sweat, I have fun. We listen to really good music while we're working out. And you know, they push me, and they're like, they never say the things like, oh, let's get rid of this fat. It's kind of like, we're making ourselves stronger. You know, we're making, like they do that type of motivation.
They were wonderful.
Yeah.
I did their online, because she introduced me to their like online during the beginnings of thing. I could do that. I was like, they do push you. They like let you know, it's like, this is hard work, but you got this. I was like, damn, I'm in my living room like, damn, I don't want to stop. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, they're getting ready to tell me I failed. Like you said that.
It's a mental thing.
Yes. Yeah. You said that about running. That's the same thing you said.
I like to run running. Too. And so, but for me, running isn't so much working out. Again, it's the same thing. It's a time for me to focus on me. When I'm running, I get to, like, my head clears. Yes. I get to, like, lose myself in my steps, or, you know, I'm just focusing on the music. And it's really just a time for me to just get lost. And so, of course, like, it helps me because it's physical activity.
Yeah.
But it goes into, like, what you're saying about this wellness thing. Like, those are the things that give me time. Like it's time that I'm making for myself to do something for me. It just so happens to be good for me. Like I'm not like stuffing my face or something like that, because also I would love to eat like a pint of ice cream, but in those moments like it's like, no, this is me time. I get
this is me time. No, but that's really positive and that's really good. And that what you said is, it's exercise and the physical piece of it is sort of a byproduct of what it's doing for your mental health. And that's great. I used to be a runner as well. I ran cross country. I was a long distance runner. I could run 8 to 10 miles without stopping. Actually, the longest run I did was 15 miles. I did a 25K when I was in physical therapy school. I used to love
2 miles out of me. I got 2 miles before I start walking.
I could definitely do a 5K.
Before I start walking. That. Like, I try to run about 3 miles, but you got maybe 2 before I'm walking.
I got a definite.
And that's okay, whatever. But the beauty of that is you're listening to your body, as opposed to a big part of wellness and bringing it back to like really being well is not letting this whole thing turn into competition. You know what I mean? You can be encouraged and motivated by other people, but it has to be what you want to do. And so for me, I loved running for about 10, 12 years of my life and loved it. No more than that, about 15 years. And then after my first kid, it didn't feel good anymore. It started to hurt. And that was sad, because it was like, damn, this is like my getaway where I zone out. But it started to physically hurt my body. So I had come up with something new and I hated it, but I was able to find something, because I've always loved dancing and there's other activities and things you can do. But that's the key to wellness. You have to find what works for you. And what I have found with my clients and with myself is, if your motivation for whatever physical fitness activity you're doing is only related to how much weight you're going to lose, you're not going to really love it. It's going to be superficial. You're not going to want to stick with it, because that can't be your sole motivation. I tell people all the time, our bodies were not meant to stay the same our entire lives. You are not necessarily supposed to be the same size you were in high school. Some people, you know, still are around that area, but for most of us, you gain, you lose, you gain, you lose. We change, our hormones change. Women, we go through menopause. Like, there are so many reasons our bodies are not supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to be stuck, you know.
And you won't be
we just talking about, we had an entire child.
Hey, but you also won't be satisfied in it, because if you're doing it just to get to a number on the scale, I feel like what ends up happening is you're going to get really frustrated if you feel like you're putting in all this work and you're doing what you're supposed to do and you working out and you eating right and that number ain't moving. Right, so like you just
that is what happens. And that is why statistics show that people who continually diet end up gaining more weight because you get frustrated and you be like, man, F this. And you go eat
Where is my pint of ice cream?
It's like, I'm done because this is stupid and ain't doing nothing. What people have to realize is here's the reality. And people don't like to hear this. Some people were supposed to be in larger bodies. Mm. Like that's just it. Mm. That is just it. God did not create us all to be about a size 5 or 6 or 4, whatever. We are all supposed to be different sizes. And for some people, it's like our mentality, especially in this country, is listen, you work hard, you cut your calories, you work out, you can lose the weight.
Anybody can be skinny.
You can do it.
Because anybody can be skinny.
It is a lie from the pits of hell. Mm-hmm. And if you find that in order to maintain a weight that you like, that you have to consistently cut calories, consistently work out 6-7 days a week without rest, be completely exhausted, then
that's miserable. That's not your set weight.
Yeah. Boo.
I have a question that relates to the mom body. I'm going to call it mom body.
Because it's a dad body that's clearly acceptable.
Because you said it. After you had your child, it hurt to do the same things. I had a C-section. Mm-hmm, I couldn't do the same things that mm-hmm. I could do. And the things that I used to love, which my physical fitness when it came to like pushing me, I love me a personal trainer. I love me mm-hmm. some like CrossFit type, jumping on a box. That kind of stuff was great. I can't do that no more. My core strength ain't there. It ain't the same. And I found that it took just until this year for me, and that's 3 years, for me to figure out what I can and cannot do and mm-hmm. to be okay with it. Because I was sad. I was like, I used to be able to, I'm not a runner, but I was like, walking was never a thing. Now, I like walks. Walks to me is so beautiful. I think we forget too,
that ideal body type was never meant for us.
Yeah.
Like us women of color don't look like that. Like
We don't.
We're not built like that.
But you know what? Taking it a step further, there is a new prototype for women of color. And you know, it's typically surgically enhanced.
You mean the filtered?
Yeah.
The new prototype is your waist about 16 inches and your hips and butt about 42.
So I'm going to just let you know right now.
Lisa,
we did our
We're not built like that either, though. That's not how we built either.
That ain't how humans are built.
That doesn't logically, that don't logic. So you can tell me that, like, where are your organs, ma'am?
Smushed away.
Ma'am, you don't have organs.
Deficient.
We had a time frame where they did that. That's where Shay's, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that where Shay's lounges come from? Because you just gonna pass out somewhere, fainting chair. I don't need no fainting chair.
No.
I'm okay. I promise you, if it ever gets to the place where my ideal body type means that I gotta remove some ribs, it's not for me. It ain't for nobody.
And I try not to, you know, I work with women. I very much like, I don't judge whatever you feel you need to do to make yourself feel better, but I don't encourage it. I don't support it. I wouldn't do it myself because again, you are chasing this superficial idea. What happens after you get that beautiful surgically induced body? What happens when you gain weight after that? You got to go back.
That happens often.
Maintenance. You got to like, what like that?
Yeah, it's a maintenance plan.
It's
people
very
often forget
dangerous.
That, like, and you have to keep it up. People forget that you can get the ideal body.
Like,
people,
like if you have tummy tucks and things like that, mm-hmm. like you can gain. And because you're not changing the mental way that you're thinking about your body. Like, and I think what you said is a good point. We weigh different things at different points in our lives.
Yeah.
And so as we get older, of course it's harder to lose weight. Our body's not going to adjust as quickly as it did when we were younger. Mm-hmm. We have to learn how to be okay with what we look like. And I think like you're saying, focus on those other pieces that matter, because find something that you like to do that involves physical fitness that keeps you quote unquote healthy, you know, so you don't have high cholesterol, you're not prone to diabetes.
Yes.
You know, try to make lifestyle changes so you're not eating fried stuff all the time. Like I'm a big proponent of never cutting anything out.
Absolutely. I am anti-restriction, anti-diet, eat what you want. but be mindful about it. What I've learned is there are certain things, like I was talking to a friend, pancakes. I used to love pancakes.
I love
but
pancakes.
I've noticed over the last year, every time I have like a plain, like a regular flour-based pancake, my stomach cramps later. I feel awful. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, guess what? I don't think I like pancakes anymore. Because not because I'm gonna get fat or they're too high in this or high
your
in
body's
that,
just like, nope.
I don't feel good when I eat it.
No more.
And a part of wellness is feeding yourself what makes you feel good. And sometimes that is an emotional thing. I want some ice cream. Eat your ice cream, boo. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it is about nourishing myself, you know, giving my body what I need. I need that zucchini. I need those vegetables. It actually helps me in some way. So it's finding that balance. I mean, and it's
that's
a whole
what you found
process.
Out, right?
Yes, I was going to say that's exactly. I was I have like a hernia. I have an umbilical hernia. Thank you, wonderful child of mine,
baby. Yes.
So and I was having like this. I don't really have a lot of pain, but it was like 6 months ago. Come from COVID, stress, whatever. But I was having like I ended up in the ER because of the pain that I was in, and I was like, "There's nothing different. There's literally nothing different." I changed my diet. And I decided, you know what? I realized that I love seafood. So I said, you know what? I've always eaten, I don't eat a lot of meat if I don't want to, chicken, turkey, whatever. I was like, I'll eat chicken and turkey whenever I want. If I do want a burger or something, I'm not restricting myself, but I'm going to mostly eat pescatarian/vegetarian. And that's what I found out. I started doing that. I've not had an issue since. And I was just like, huh. It was like I noticed that it was food related. It had to be food related. It was one of those
our bodies are brilliant. Our bodies are brilliant, y'all. That's why when we try to restrict and starve ourselves and we still gain weight, our body is like, no, ma'am.
No.
I got this. This is what we need. Our bodies are resilient. They're so much more complex than calories in versus calories out. I can lose weight. That's not how it goes. And it tells you what you need.
Yes. And a lot of people see the thing that I've realized, especially when we're talking about these health gurus and all these influencers, is like people will take what happens with their body and then be like, it's because gluten is bad or all the fats and my toxins in my body. And it's like, nah, for me, it's not that. It was like, okay, I don't know. Because I don't eat for a lot of fried food, but I was like, I don't know what
90%
it is.
Of people, I'm gonna put this out there real quick. 90% of y'all folks out here do not have fucking gluten intolerance. Okay.
No, I just, can we say it again? Say it again. Celiac.
It's
I know one
Caucasian
person.
Thing.
I know two
Most
people
Caucasians
who have celiac
are affected
disease.
By celiac disease. And
two people
so what
have
you have
true
now, it might not make you might feel bloated. Or a little heavy when you eat bread, but it ain't because you're gluten intolerant. Okay, eat the damn bread and be happy.
Celiac. I know about four people who have Crohn's, which is another thing that is like, really, they are not, and trust me, they would wish that they didn't. Okay,
it's
not
something that, like, that's the thing. People,
it ain't something, it's not a trend, it's not a buzzword, it's some bullshit to have to like restrict what you have to eat because the consequences after are like, you don't wish that upon yourself.
No, restriction is whack. Okay.
And that's why I was like, and that's why I was like, people sit there and they're like, oh my gosh, because I cut out this and all of a sudden I feel better. And I'm like, I can't tell you what it is. I promise you, if I go back and like track my meals, I'm like, I can't say, but I do know that me eating this way has been better and beneficial for my body. So I'm gonna just keep doing it.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how I eat. I can tell you that when I eat this, I feel bad.
We mentioned briefly at the beginning, because you have gorgeous hair, Tabitha Brown. She said the same thing. You know, she had a chronic illness and stuff, and she said, you know, she just started eating better.
Yeah, she went vegan,
and
it changed
her body
everything
responded to that. Mm-hmm. And her body really responded to that. And she's, and I love Tabitha Brown. She's not one to push anybody to be vegan. She's saying this is what helped me. This helped me feel better. It helped my body. And I think that's the thing. Like, if you notice you feel a certain way when you eat food and, you know, makes you not feel so good, like with your pancakes, try not to eat them so often.
Exactly.
And then, you know, like I have certain food that will make me go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and it feels horrible. And I know
horrible.
I can't eat that food. It's food I love, but it's like, I don't want to feel like that. So I'm not
going to
eat it like
that.
Look, so that, exactly. Like, and every once in a while I'll take, I'll take the hit. Cause I'll be like, you know what? I really
want this. Yeah.
Today I really need
and
this.
And there's, you know what? There's no shame in that. And that's the problem with like diet culture. It teaches you to have shame, and then you feel bad. Then you sneak and you're binging at night when nobody's around and you're hiding it because, oh, this is bad. Yeah. We've labeled these things bad, and it makes us eat worse. But so many people in our country do it. It's like, oh, that's so bad. And it's like, stop hiding behind that. No foods are bad. Some foods do better with you than others. And that is it. But you're right. Universally, like, get rid. I don't eat beef or pork. I don't tell everybody, girl, you need to not eat beef and pork and you'll have a booty like that. Like, that's bullshit. Like, I was born this way.
Like, this bacon is delicious.
And that's what people fail to realize. You can look at a family. They have done studies, and this was some of the great information in Health at Every Size. They've done study on twins who grew up in separate families with separate eating habits, bring them back together. They got the same damn body type, the same, almost the exact weight, because the reality is your genetics impact your body size, weight, and shape so much more than any food, any diet, any workout, period.
And that is the reason why it's just so important. I think that's the reason why it's so important for us to remember, like, as moms, we put so much pressure on ourselves to, like, be in this space, to be in this, like, you know, I know that I always say, Sasha, you have already said you want to be a MILF, and I too.
Yep.
But that don't mean that we got to be.
Y'all are already MILFs. Hello?
Correct. I'm going to continue to be a MILF. But that doesn't mean that, like, that means that we're hitting some aesthetic or some kind of way. It's like, are we doing everything we can to, like, make ourselves happy? Because we've talked about this on the podcast before about if we're unhappy, like, ourselves, within ourselves, forget, like, the size, just overall feel like trash. Yes. Then that's going to affect our children, our life, our husbands, our family, our job. It's no way.
Yes. And do y'all have daughters?
No, we have sons.
We have sons.
Sons, all boys. Yeah. Okay, but that's still relevant. I have daughters. Yeah. I have an almost 10-year-old, turning 8 on Saturday, daughter, and then my son is just turned 6. Oh. And for me, a part of, like, being positive about my body is so much to do with them. I refuse to let them catch me in the mirror talking about, I'm so fat, I don't like the way I look, I'm not getting in the picture with y'all, mommy's not, because they're going to, no matter what you tell them about how beautiful they are, they're going to internalize that. And it's the same thing for our sons. They're watching you. Yeah, they're watching everything that you do. And I want my children to understand, this is how my body looks. I love it. You know, there's no level of perfection, but I birthed 3 babies.
That is exactly it.
Yeah. And I'm proud of the way I look. And that is such a journey and such a process to get to, but it's worth the work. That's what I say. It's worth the effort and the work.
I saw this one girl, she was either on TikTok or Instagram, and she had, like, self-esteem issues. And what she did is, for like 30 days or something, she just spoke positively about herself. She would look in the mirror, and instead of trying to criticize herself, she was like, you know what? Yeah, I look good in this shirt. Or, you know, I did really good. I think she was like in high school or something. So I did really good on this assignment. And, you know, I feel smart today, or I finished reading this book today. And you could tell in the videos in the first week or so, she felt really uncomfortable telling herself that. But at the end of it, she was like, you know, she gained so much confidence just from that positive self-talk, you know, just by telling, you know, she hadn't changed physically. Mm-hmm. She hadn't been doing anything different. She was just talking to herself differently. And it changed the way that she felt about herself. And I think that's, we have such a trouble with speaking positivity into ourselves. We do it for our friends all the time.
Oh my gosh.
When your girls come and they're like, oh, I feel...
If no, girl, you're like, beautiful. Well,
girl, you look good.
Girl, look at you. Snatch, stack.
I tell my clients, I say, treat yourself like you would treat your very best friend. You wouldn't say to your friend, oh, girl, your weight gain got you looking disgusting. Look at your muffin top. Oh, my God. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't, right? But to your best friend, you would be like, you look great. What are you talking? Do that to yourself. You deserve it. If anybody deserves it, you deserve it. And I know a lot of this body shaming and stuff, it comes from childhood, right?
Yeah.
It starts early. The people that love us the most will say the worst things about our bodies.
Yep.
And a lot of times it's out of love, because they don't want us to be fat and be ridiculed in society, but they're ridiculing us in our home. So it's unlearning. It is unlearning and recognizing that was wrong. And sometimes it's hard. You still love your mama, your grandpa, your dad, whoever, but what they were doing was wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was feeding you negative words about yourself, negative thoughts about yourself that were untrue. And now you carry that with you. And if you're not careful, you pass that right on to the next generation. So that's why wellness is so important. It's so important to get beyond the weight and the body aesthetic and to really think about total wellness and then to do things that feed your total wellness. So beyond exercise, literally reading, meditating, praying, spending time with friends, you know, going outside.
Getting
I like to bird watch.
Done, your nails
getting your
done.
Hair done. Anything that say, makes look. You feel good. I was like, I'm getting older because I like sitting on the deck watching birds. I don't know why. It's a little embarrassing, but guess what? It feeds my soul now. So it's a part of my wellness routine.
Absolutely. Hey, Sasha, you got your nails done.
I would go outside in the I did get my nails done. Hey, yes, I did.
She had an issue. Her nails started messing up, so she had to take a break. And she was just like, Sasha gets her nails done.
I had my long nails, and I loved my long nails, but I had acrylic on top, and they broke underneath. One of them broke. So I took them all off and I gave my nails a little break. And so now they're all short and I don't like them this short. This really bothers me. But I'm letting them just grow and I just have gel on top. And so I went and I got
Sasha
my nails done.
Nails
and I feel so much, even without the long nails. I'm like, yeah. I got my nails
Sasha likes this one where you tap.
But
it makes sense. Like, it's not even about like you said, sitting outside, just enjoying like, yeah. I get my hair done and I was a person who was like, I just didn't do it. It was like,
and you did it for a while, but you've been keeping it up.
And now I get my hair done religiously, like as is. And when I come in, new hairstyles, let me tell you who says something first. I swear, my son.
The babies. Yes.
He's three. Yes. He's like, mommy, your hair is beautiful.
My son be on it.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't even care.
My son is the same.
I don't care.
My son will say something for my husband. He'd be like
he
would mommy.
Be like, he'll touch my braids and he's just sitting there. And I'm like, this is, but what like you said, what our babies are saying is that we love ourselves and that it's okay. And also we're teaching them how to love themselves and others, because we're raising men, but we're raising men who are going to love someone.
Exactly. They may grow up and marry a woman who might have kids or who might gain weight or who.
And what you're not going to do is come up in here and try and talk smack about anyone in my house. I'm not that one.
I make sure I try to speak positivity in my son. I tell him all the, I love my son has a little afro and I love it. And I tell him all the time, "Oh, mommy loves your hair." Like, mommy loves it so much. Mommy wishes I had hair like you. And I call him all the time. Like, I'll be like, "Hey, handsome." And like, but I also make sure to tell him, "Oh, you're doing so good today with what we're learning. Like, you're smart. Like, you know, you were good with listening today. You're good with paying attention today.
Yeah.
Like, you're really good doing X, Y, and Z." Because I want to fill him with that, because I think like what she said is most of what we tell ourselves are the things that we heard as kids. That voice that we hear is our little kid voice, is from what we heard as our parents. And so if you're hearing from your parents, "Oh, you know, I look good," or "I'm smart," or "I'm strong," or "I can do this," or "it's okay to feel this way,"
compliments,
then you'll grow up.
The backhanded compliments are the best.
My
epitome
of a Spanish mother.
You look like you're getting better today.
Takes it away. That's
you
my
was
take
one
it away.
Pieces away to your last week, but you're looking better.
Listen, I had my dad passed away when I was 16, but I loved him. But he was a bodybuilder, and he was the general manager of the Powerhouse Gym in Detroit, Michigan. That's where I'm from, born and raised. And he was very into aesthetics because he was a fitness competitor. So every crack and crevice had to look a certain way. This is the first time I ever compared myself to someone. He had me and a good friend who were finishing up track practice come to the gym and hang out. He was going to take us home after. And we started working out. And she got on the leg press machine. And then I got on. And he said, "Her leg muscles are more developed than yours." And he didn't, like, he went right by it and kept talking and was fine before me. I remember that comment. I'm talking 25 years later. You know what I mean? Like, because it was like,
you're still like, "Damn, I got to work on my leg muscles."
She was like, "What? Daddy?"
It was this internal competition, like, "Oh, I got to get my legs to look more like hers." And it was because he was my father. He's my parent. You know what I mean? I was a daddy's girl. So I wanted him to think I was perfect and amazing. And it's like, and that little thing, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean anything by it. But that little statement right there stood with me and literally impacted how I looked at myself, how I exercised, what I did. Mm-hmm. And it was totally unnecessary. Unnecessary. We have to be so careful with our babies and what we say to them, what we say to ourselves around them, how we treat ourselves.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It you hear it forever and that plays in your head forever. So exactly. Definitely. Mm. Yeah.
So just to kind of close out the show, I'll just ask you one last question. You know, as moms, all of this sounds nice and well. You know, we're supposed to focus on ourselves and we're supposed to, you know, do all these things to make ourselves feel good. But how do we actually find the time to do those things?
Yeah,
like,
right.
How do we find time?
How do we carve out the time to make that happen?
So you know what? I tell people all the time, sometimes you have to create the time that doesn't exist, right? And that sounds like magic, but it's really not. Sometimes that means multitasking. Sometimes that means setting boundaries around other stuff you're doing. You know, if you're working, a lot of people now working from home, they literally work from the time the sun up to the time the sun go down. Mm. Guess what? Set boundaries. You have to take care of yourself. Work is done at 5, period. I don't care what assignment's not done. That's it. You know, so set boundaries around your time. Sometimes doubling up. Sometimes we don't have help or babysitters available. So guess what? Y'all kids, y'all need to run off some energy. I like being in nature. We're going to walk to the park. I'm going to let y'all play in this enclosed area. And I'm going to just sit there and meditate and breathe in some fresh air. And then the other thing moms have a lot of trouble doing, ask for some freaking help. Like there are people that are ready and willing to help you. You need to let your spouse, your partner participate. Like, excuse me, I'm leaving. So keep your kids. You need to reach out to the family that's local. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Your friends. I have a good friend here. I always laugh because she used to be like, can we have a play date on Friday? And I'm like, sure. You know, I don't work, whatever. You know, we can meet up on Friday. And then she would drop the damn kids off. And I'd be like, what the fuck? This ain't a play date.
Like,
but then the next weekend, she'd be like, okay, you know, my turn. So drop the kids off. She would do these one-sided play dates. And I thought it was hilarious, but it was so, it's basically like you babysit my kids for 3 hours today. Next week, I'm going to babysit your kids for 3 hours. And that shit was like mind blowing. Like, wow. So literally do what you got to do. Use your people. And then the biggest thing is outsource. I didn't want to pay for it, but eventually we got a house cleaner. Now she only come once a month, but guess what? That's one time a month. I ain't got a sweep, mop, clean toilets, clean showers, clean glass doors. Oh my God. Like, you have to make the time that doesn't exist by taking things off your plate and asking for help so you can attend to your wellness. Sometimes it's multitasking. Sometimes it's taking time and stealing away. But do it. Do it. Do it. Because it's most important. Because if you are feeling horrible, you can't be the great mom you want to be or the great partner or wife you want to be or the great employee. You can't do it. There's only so much of you to go around, you know, period. So those are my tips.
Do it and don't feel bad about it.
I literally put it like, because I have all my meetings and everything on my planner, and I literally will put 12:30 workout, and I do it every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because that's my time. And I know if it's on my calendar, I put little check marks whenever I finish my meetings and stuff.
Me too.
So I know I got done. So I come back home and I put a little check mark right next to it.
Yeah. It feels good.
I don't do my check marks, but I have like a, I call it an accountability partner. Me and my friend are like, just my friend just moved near me, and she was like, I need to go walking. And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. And so we will call, like, it's Mondays. Like, we both have like funny schedules on Tuesday, Wednesday. I said, that's fine. Mondays, Fridays, like every day after work, we'd like link up and just be like, okay, so we're going to take this walk. Which way are we going today? Left, right? And we just walk. I did the same thing with my nephew where I said, damn, I need to spend some more time with him because he's growing up and I'm like, eventually he's getting ready to be gone. He's in high school now. And I said, he lives near. I said, we're going to do once a week walks. We're having auntie nephew time. And during that time, we're walking around. We're like, you know, we're not doing anything major, but I feel so good the days that I'm able to do that, do my walking, sit around, and I've caught up with my family. I've caught up with my friends. We've got to have some relaxing downtime. Mm-hmm. And my I close all my rings those days all the time.
I love it. That's
my external motivator right there. Okay. I don't know about y'all, but my rings, I don't like try to close my rings, but when they close, I'd be like,
it feels good.
When did I do exercise today?
Whatever.
But also, if it doesn't make you feel good,
But if it doesn't
make you feel good to not close them rings off the day, take the watch off.
I care. I promise you, I don't care about this watch. Good. It does make me like know that, oh, damn, I haven't moved. You're right. I have been sitting down for a while.
It's an it's an awareness, which is good. But you're right. As long as you don't become obsessed about it and feeling bad about yourself when you don't, then it's a great motivator. Absolutely.
I have friends on here that like run and do workouts every day. And every time I see it, I be like, ding. And I'm like, good for you. I am the like silent cheerleader. Yes, look at you doing your workout again. Never will I look and be like, man, I should work out. Nah, that's so wonderful that you got that workout in today.
So I love it.
Letha, where can folks find you on social media and all of the good website stuff?
Yeah, so I am on all social media platforms at Healthy Fit, and it is spelled P-H-I-T. It is P-H-I-T, but I live on Instagram, so if you want to really hang out with me, meet me there. And then you can always check my website. It's www.healthyfit.com, and again, that's P-H-I-T.
Well, thank you so much. This was such a good conversation.
Yes, I love talking to y'all.
We were so happy. Thank you so much. We were so happy to have you on. It's such a conversation that's so important to us. And we always want to tell women and moms out there, like, just take time for you. Like, whatever that means, to fill your cup up all the way, take that time, because it's just so important. So thank you so much for being on the show. We would love to hear from you guys. Tell us what your wellness looks like. What does that look like for you? You can let us know on Instagram. We're at Swirl and Sip Podcast, or you can email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. We would always like for you guys to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It does help other people find us. So we're available on all of your major podcast platforms. But the rating and the reviewing is the important part, because that's how people find the show. If you want to be a part of our Sip Squad and see Dr. Lisa's amazing hair and how beautiful she looks tonight, you can join our Sip Squad at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast, where you can see behind the scenes of what we look like when we're recording. And we do special things like Vino Corners, where we have extended talks about our wine. You get monthly recipes, drink recipes in your inbox, and lots of other fun stuff. It's as little as $3 a month, which is a cup of coffee. Yep. And maybe it'll help you on your wellness journey to support folks like us. And also, it just, whatever, when somebody joins our Sip Squad, it helps us pay Rajesh, who is our podcast editor, and he would appreciate it more than anybody else. I think, did I get everything, Sheree?
That's it.
Oh, yes. This comes out May 19th or something like that. So we have a Father's Day event coming up next month, so make sure that you follow us for that. In the meantime, though, as always, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.